It is the Holy Spirit who is the author of the Bible. It is his responsibility to give our minds or bring understanding to our minds of the words that we read. Now, let me ask you something. Does it end there? Does it end there? In other words, is it just the fact that we hold the words of God and that we read them and we understand them? Is that where the Christian life ends? No, not at all. But you know, for many Christians, it does. That's where it ends. Many Christians will say, yes, I believe the Bible is God's word. They'll also even go as far to say that, yes, I understand what the Bible says and what God wants me to do. But they lack this one ingredient that makes this whole thing complete. In other words, they stop short by this one thing. And you say, what is it, preacher? It's this: obedience. Obedience. In other words, not only holding his words and understanding God's words, but taking that next step of actually putting them into practice. I mean, obeying God's words. For many Christians, the Bible is not truly not their authority. And I want to speak on that, preach on that tonight, this idea of biblical authority. And I want to go over several things here this evening that you might want to write down. Number one, I want you to consider, first of all, the command of biblical authority. The command for biblical authority. Now, think about this. There is one thing that God desires out of all of his children, all of us, and that is simply obedience. That's what he wants. That's what he wants from you and me. And when we're talking about his children, we're talking about those that have been born again. Amen? The Bible says, of course, we are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how a person becomes a child of God. Not everyone's a child of God. Only those that have repented of their sin and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their sole way to heaven through his blood. And as his children, the one thing that God desires out of all of us is obedience. It is also one thing that every child of God can do. We have the ability, we are enabled by his Spirit to obey God. And it is also something that God not only desires, but God goes as far as to command obedience out of his children. You know, obedience to God is not something that God suggests. You've heard the old statement, you know, it's not the 10 suggestions, it's the 10 commandments. And that's true about everything that God says in his word. They're not suggestions, they're not proposals, they're not requests. God expects us to obey his commands. He expects us to be an obedient people. Let me just give you a few verses on that in case you're not sure about that. Deuteronomy 13:4, the Bible says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him." Our God says you ought to, you shall walk after the Lord your God and obey me. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12 and 13. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." You say, "Preacher, wait a minute. Isn't that Old Testament? I mean, does that apply to us today?" Well, first of all, the whole Bible applies to us today. Amen? As far as in principle, certainly there were certain commands given directly to Israel as far as the tabernacle and those things, but the commandments are for us today. Let me give you a New Testament verse anyway. 1 Peter 1:1-2, the Bible says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." In other words, the very reason that we were saved was to be an obedient people. God has always desired his people to obey him. He wants that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Certainly we're not saved by the law. Certainly we're not saved by our works. We're saved by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we're saved to obey. We're saved to obey. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. I want to read a verse to you, a few verses to you. I'm trying to make the point here that God commands obedience. He commands it. Notice in verse 13 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Bible says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Here it is, verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Notice throughout the entire Bible, we read that God wants us to have the Bible as our authority. He wants us to obey him. And now certainly I understand that a proper obedience should be willingly. It should be something that's done from the heart. It should be out of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We love him because he first loved us. It should be without reservation. But when we hear something from the Word of God, when you're sitting there either reading your Bible or listening to preaching and you learn a truth from the Bible, understand something. You're not learning that just to expand your intellect. I mean, God's not showing you that just to have some sort of deeper understanding of things or to simply know more. What God wants out of you and me is the responsibility of obeying it. You see, with that knowledge comes responsibility. And I'll tell you, we've seen in our day today, and I know all of us could say certainly we need help in this area of obedience, but I think what we're seeing today is a gap between what people say they believe and what they are actually doing in their lives. And that's a sad thing. It's a bad testimony. We ought to be an obedient people. I was reading a story I wanted to share with you. I thought it was pretty interesting. And it happened in 1798 when Napoleon Bonaparte was rising to power. He was attempting to take Egypt. Now, Egypt at the time was occupied by the British. And it was on August 1st and 2nd of 1798 that the British fleet met the French fleet in what was called the Battle of the Nile. Now, before this battle even began, the commander of one of the warships that was called the Orient had his son on board this ship. And the commander told his son, 13-year-old boy, he was on duty. He said, I want you to stay at your post until you're relieved by my orders. Don't move until you hear me say, move. Well, soon after the boy was placed, this battle started. And one of the first casualties, deaths in that war was, guess who? His father. And here that boy was there standing at his post, And amidst all the carnage and wreckage that was going on, not knowing his father had died, and the other sailors were jumping overboard and trying to run as the ship is sinking and things are burning. And he's crying out as he's standing there, Father, may I go? Father, may I go? And he never heard the voice of his father. That boy stood alone at his post and did not move and perished in the flames because he wanted to obey the orders of his dad. Now, would to God we had that kind of obedience with our God. God help us to be a people that are obedient to his word. The command of biblical authority. God commands obedience. Number two, write this down if you would. Let's talk about the confusion of biblical authority. The confusion of biblical authority. Now, there's an interesting thing we do, and I want you to turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. You know the story. It's a familiar story. King Saul, of course, commanded by God to go and defeat, of course, the Amalekites. and to utterly destroy them. Now, let's look at what God tells him in verse 3 of 1 Samuel 15. Notice the Bible says, "Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Now, the command's simple, is it not? The command's clear, I should say, is probably a better word. There's no doubt what God wanted. God said to, notice, destroy, utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman and so forth. Now, we know from the story, if you go down to verse 8, that Saul didn't do it. Notice verse 8, "And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people which the edge of the sword." Verse 9, "But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuge, that they destroyed utterly." Notice again, Saul did not do it. But what boggles my mind is when we get down to verse 13. When we know that Samuel the prophet is sent to Saul, and he confronts him about this thing. And in verse 13, the Bible says, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord." Notice, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Did he perform the commandment of the Lord? No, he did not. You see, Saul was confused. You say, confused about what? I'll tell you in a moment. Years ago, this story will link into what I'm trying to say here. Years ago, I was talking to a woman about salvation. She was a Catholic woman, and she was a relative of mine. And we were there for a while going back and forth about salvation. I was showing her Bible verses and telling her Bible verses and so forth. And finally, when we got into the conversation for a while, she said to me, she made this statement to me. She said this, she said, "Your authority is the Bible, and my authority is God." That's interesting, isn't it? Your authority is the Bible, and my authority is God. You see, that woman was confused about the very same thing that Saul was confused about. Let me explain. I'll make it simple. God is the final authority. Amen? He's the final authority for all mankind. Now, let's connect the dots, though. When she said, "Oh, my authority is God," she was missing the connection of the dots. And here's what I mean by that. Okay, God is the final authority. Yes, you're right, for all mankind. So let's take the step. Jesus Christ is God, right? So Christ is the final authority for mankind. If God's the final, and Jesus is God, therefore, you know, algebra, you know how that goes, then Jesus Christ is God, and he's the final authority. Let's take it to the next step. Since the Bible is God's word and God's sole authority, his written revelation to mankind, his revelation of himself to mankind, then I know this may sound simple, but then the Bible's the final authority. Doesn't that make sense? God's the final authority. The Bible's God's words. Therefore, the Bible is the final authority. Well, you see, you cannot, here's what I'm trying to say. You cannot disconnect God from his word. You can't do that. This is exactly what Saul was trying to do here in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Notice what God did if you go down to verse 22. Notice here it's made plain. "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." God's connecting the dots for him. Saul disobeyed God's word, yet he turned and said, "Oh, I've obeyed the commandments of God. I've done everything he's told me." Well, he missed something. He missed the fact that when you disobey God's word, you're disobeying God. Notice how strongly God is in this area. Notice what he says again in verse 22. Well, let's look at verse 23. God says that disobedience is rebellion. Notice, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." He links disobedience to rebellion against him. Notice, it's as the sin of witchcraft. It's as the sin of idolatry. That's how serious a matter this is. But you cannot disconnect God and God's word. Now, many Christians do this, and we do this. We do this all the time. We're trying to excuse things. Here's what we do. We convince ourselves that I can disobey God's word and still be right with God. I can do things that God says in his word that I shouldn't be doing, and everything's okay between me and my Lord. You know, I love my Lord. Let's just think about some simple areas. Let me go ahead and bring it on home here and make a basic application. Let's talk about the basics, what we refer to as the basics of the Christian life. Reading your Bible. God wants us to read his word. We're actually to go even further than that. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We're to get into the word of God. And many times Christians I've seen go day after day, sometimes week after week, and they do not open the word of God. Yet they come in and say, oh, how I love Jesus. Well, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't just sing about it. It's okay to sing about it. And he wants us to sing about it. But don't think that's a replacement for obeying him, reading the Bible. How about prayer? I think all of us are going to hang our heads in this one. We're to pray. He wants us to pray. Men ought always to pray. Pray without ceasing. We go on and on about things God tells us. And by the way, his commandments are for our good. He's not trying to like put our nose in this. Hey, you do this. This is for our good. And he's commanding us to do it. And if I think about our prayer life, and the average Christian's prayer life, and we just go on and on like everything's okay with me and my Lord, you know. But we don't have it. We don't have the prayer life. There's number two. How about the third one? I'm talking about five basics. Third, giving. Giving. You know, God commands to tithe. It's a command. It's the minimum of Christian giving. Now, if you ask me, it's a pretty good deal because he owns 100% of it. It's all his. And he's letting me keep 90% of it. Hallelujah to that. And he says, you trust me. You give me 10%, that tithe, to show your faith. But I wonder, you know, how many of us really participate or obey God in this area of tithing? He tells us to. Matter of fact, he says, go ahead and give an offering on top of that, and I'll bless you for it. Oh, I'll bless you. The windows of heaven will be open, and I'll take care of you. You see, we've detached the two. You say, that's three. What are the other two? How about attending church faithfully? Amen. Now, I'm grateful we're here tonight. Amen. God commands us to come. He says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. We're just talking about the basics of the Christian life here. And so often we hear of people, and I've seen them, I've visited them, and I talk to them about the Lord. And I say, hey, why don't you come back to church? Hey, why don't you get back where you ought to be? You know you ought to be a member of a good independent Baptist church. You know you ought to be joining together with other Christians. It'll help you. It'll encourage you. And I say, oh, no thanks. I don't want any part of that. I just love my Jesus, though. Something's wrong. The dots have not been connected. If you love me, keep my commandments. What else? Witnessing. How about that? Witnessing is not a suggestion. It's a command. And you know, you'll find if you witness, if you are a faithful witness, it'll do more for you than you even realize. God stirs your heart. He gives you that burden as you go. But think about how many Christians sit in our churches week after week and service after service and never give out a tract and never lift up their voice for the Lord and never do any of that and think, oh, well, I'm okay with my God. Uh-oh. There's a problem. You see, we're talking about biblical authority. Is it really, really an authority in our lives? You see, we can't be in disobedience to the Lord and claim fellowship with our God. We can't. And so many are confused in this area. I know Brother Mike, I was hearing about his message Sunday night, and I heard about he went into Haggai, and you think about that chapter and what it did talk about, how they were putting their money in bags with holes in it. Holes without bags, that's a good one. Their crops weren't growing. I mean, things weren't happening right, and God was trying to deal with them, and it all stemmed back to what? Disobedience. The confusion about biblical authority. Number three, write this down. Go ahead and turn your sheet over. Thirdly, I want you to notice the combat against biblical authority. So here's the war. Here's the choice all of us have to make. Who's going to rule in my life? Is it going to be God and His Word? Or is it going to be me? Now, let's not forget, and I hope this little section here helps you, because it helped me when I was studying for it. Let's not forget, there's a war going on. We are in a spiritual warfare. And I wish, and I hope we could understand that this warfare that we're engaged in is greater than any physical warfare that has been upon the face of the earth. It is a spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12 tells us about it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And there's this battle that's going on, that's raging all around us. See, what is it about? Well, certainly, this war is over two things. Here they are. Number one, the souls of men. The souls of men. Whatever God ordains, Satan opposes. Man was created in the image of God. Satan wants to destroy man. Man was created for fellowship with God. Satan wants to destroy that fellowship. Matter of fact, he doesn't want anyone to be saved. We know that God's not willing that any should perish, so that Satan wants all to perish. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, 4:3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is in the business of blinding people. When you look out there and you hear things that are going on, and you see the confusion of people, and you wonder, why in the world do they think this way? I don't understand that. Understand, the devil is trying to blind them to the glory gospel. It's over the souls of men. I hope you're here saved tonight. I hope the Lord has broken through and you've come to know Christ as Savior. If you have, then you're not out of the battle. There's another battle going on. You say, what's that over? That's the second one. The minds of Christians. The minds of Christians. I was just speaking to someone when I was down in Tennessee, and a preacher, and we were talking about some things. And I made the comment to him. I said, you know, the battle is in the mind, isn't it? He said, it sure is. That's where it is, right there. The battle is in the mind. You see, Satan wants you to think wrong. That's what he wants. He doesn't want you to think biblically. He doesn't want you to place yourself under the authority of the Word of God. And so what does he do? He tries to do some things. I'm going to show you that in a moment. But understand something, that there are two ways that a Christian can live his life. You can either believe and submit to God's truth. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Jesus said that he is the truth. So you can live your life submitting to God's word, or you can believe and submit to Satan's lie. Which is it going to be? You say, well, it doesn't seem that simple. Do you know it really is that simple? Anytime you struggle, what you're doing, anytime you have issues in areas, what the struggle that's over your mind, and there's a choice for you either to believe God's truth or to submit to the lies and the lie of Satan. Now let's remember what Jesus Christ said about Satan in John chapter 8. In verse 44, ye are of your father the devil. Notice, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Here it is. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, why is this going on? Why is the devil so interested in pulling you and me out from under the authority of the Word of God and to believe his lies? I'll tell you why. If you're saved here tonight, then you can't be lost again. We're grateful for that. But you can be hindered. You can be immobilized. You can be defeated you can be discouraged, and he is doing everything within his power to get you to believe his lies. Why is that? He doesn't want you to do anything for God. And I'm sure this evening there's some people that you're believing a lie. And you've been immobilized for God for weeks or months or perhaps even years because you believe the lie of the devil. You see, he wants to remove us from being under the authority of God's word. And he does this by getting you to believe a lie. Now, listen to this. Believing a lie is the result of accepting a thought that Satan has substituted for God's truth. Let me see if I can't give you an example. A painful event happens in your life. By the way, all of us face painful events, right? The Bible says we're, you know, man is a few days and full of trouble. There's trouble in this world. We're in a sin-cursed world. There's difficulties you're going to face. You and I are all of us are going to face some kind of painful event in your life. Maybe you're in the midst of one right now. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe you've just heard that been diagnosed with something. Maybe there's a problem right now going on in your home, in your family. Perhaps a wayward child. Perhaps you and your spouse, you're having marital difficulties. And whatever it is you're facing, maybe you're facing financial problems. A lot of that going on today. Struggles and difficulties and all that. See, the key is when that event happens, how are you and how am I going to interpret that event? We can either interpret it biblically or we can go after the lie that the devil's dangling over our head to try and snatch. You see, how you interpret that event is key to your response to that event. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. So is he." You see, when that event happens, you're going to respond in one of two ways. You're either going to respond in believing God's word. That's if you've placed yourself under the authority of God's word. Or you're going to respond in unbelief. Let me see if I can't give you a little bit deeper here. Romans 8:28, right? And we know, I like that part, we know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I would say perhaps half of this auditorium could quote that verse, or at least come close to quoting it. That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In other words, whatever's happening, God has a master plan for it. It may not be good in and of itself, but it is working together for good. Now, when that event happens in our lives, we can turn from that truth and turn to the devil's lie. Now, the devil says this. You've heard it. If God loved you, why would this happen? If God cared for you, why would he let you go through this? And why would it be so long? That's the devil's lie. You see, the devil wants to blame God. And so here we are in the middle of this thing. We have an event and our decision, should I place myself on the authority of God's word or should I listen to the devil? And the devil says, blame God, when in reality, we ought to be blaming Satan for that temptation and quoting that verse like the Lord Jesus Christ did in his temptation. You see, if the devil can deceive us into believing the lie, removing ourselves from the authority of God's word, then here it is, listen closely, he can control us. He can control us. And the degree that you or I, that we believe Satan's lie, will be the same degree that Satan will control us. And you know, he's immobilized many, many saints. He's convinced many saints that it's God's fault and God doesn't love me. And he's convinced many of them to the point where they're not doing a thing for God. Isn't that a shame? Remember the goals. Keep people from getting saved and keep Christians from being effective for God. Now turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you would. 1 Thessalonians 2. I want you to see the Apostle Paul talking about this attempt of the devil in his life. 1 Thessalonians 2. Notice in verse 18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But what happened? Somebody tell me. Satan hindered us. Paul was going for God, wasn't he? But Satan hindered him. Now, when that event happened, he could have folded up the tent, making business, and went on back to Tarsus and said, I'm going home to mom and dad, and I'm not doing this anymore. That's not what he did, though. How he interpreted that event was key to the way he went on for God. And he kept going for God, didn't he? Now, when we leave God's authority, understand something. There's only one place to go, to the lies of the devil. Now, I don't care what you call it. You can call it religion. You can call it human reasoning. There's many things that the devil uses to pull you away. But the truth of the matter is, when you leave God's authority, you latch on to the lies of the devil. Oh, God, help us. You see, believing Satan's lies, you know what that will do to you and me? It will move us out of God's will. You won't do what God wants you to do. It'll make your life so emotionally cluttered. Oh, I've seen that so many times. I mean, people just an emotional wreck over everything that's happening to them, and they just can't deal with it. And they go on, and they just are totally immobilized by all the things that are happening in their lives, and they don't do a thing for God. You believe the lie of the devil. It's going to cause you also to miss the blessings of God on your life and miss fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Do we see what happens? You know, God doesn't promise to explain everything to us. Did you know that? Newsflash, you know. He's not responsible to tell us why everything's happening. Matter of fact, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways, are they? They're not. But what we are to do is we are to trust God for his promises. You see, one of his great promises is what I read in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, all I have to realize is God's in control. All I have to realize is he loves me. He knows what's happening. He's still omnipotent. He's still omniscient. He's still omnipresent. He hasn't lost a thing, and he knows exactly where I'm at, and I don't have to fold up shop. I can just keep going for God because I know he loves me. You see what happens when we leave biblical authority? God's in charge. Have you left it? Have you allowed the devil to get you to stop serving him? Has something happened in your life? Would you consider your life to be an emotional wreck? You ever think the devil's done that to perhaps stop you? Certainly we deal with things, but we can still go on and serve the Lord. We can still be faithful. We can still be obedient through it all if we keep the Word of God as our authority and understand that his promises are true. And then lastly, number 4, I want you to notice the consequences of biblical authority. The consequences. Do you know there's certain things that God promises if we make or keep his word as the authority in our lives? Certain things he promises. You say, what are they? Some wonderful things. Go to 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Notice what the Bible says. These things write we unto you. Look at this. That your joy may be full. I'm gonna venture to say this. The average Christian is not a joyful person. Most Christians are not joyful people that I've seen. I'm not saying we don't have joyful people here. I'm just saying, of all the Christians I've seen, some of them, many of them, are not happy people. They're not joyful like the Lord promised. And I say, why is that? I'll tell you why. The battle's in the mind. They've misinterpreted the events of their life and have been convinced of the devil of some sort of lie that God doesn't love them, God doesn't care for him, and boy, things just haven't worked out the way I thought they would work out, and so woe is me. And they lose their joy. Do you know that if we have his book as the authority over our lives, we'll be joyful people? Brother Cordry asked me tonight, he said, Is it well? That's a good question, you know. I said, it's always well. And that's the way it should be with us. No matter what we're dealing with, no matter what trial, no matter how big the load may seem, guess what? We can still be happy people. I could give you a list of about 2 pages long of junk that's on my plate. I could, and I could get up here and I could tell you how terrible it is. But hey, I'm happy to say tonight that I got a God that's in control. And even though I may not have the answer, I know he does. And I know he's in charge. And so I can be happy. I can be joyful. Number two, write this down. What else? As we keep the Bible our authority, what's another thing that God promises? Number two, write it down. Freedom. Freedom. John chapter 8, verse 31. I'm going to read it to you. Many of you know it. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Notice, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom. You know, people like to say this, and sad to say, a lot of young people like to say this. Well, obeying God, that just brings bondage. I mean, it takes all the fun out of life. I can't do anything. Can't go here. Can't listen to this. Can't watch this. Well, you've missed it, and you've swallowed the lie of the devil. Because the Lord says that the truth shall make you free. You don't know the freedom and the joy you experience when you're obeying the Lord. You see, it's when you're disobeying him and that guilt and that Holy Spirit conviction's upon you and you can't get away from it. That's when the bondage comes. But when you've confessed your sins and you're right with the Lord as best as you know how to be, well, you can be happy and feel free. I hope you feel free tonight. Number three, write this one down. Here's another consequence of biblical authority. Unity. Unity. Look at that. Unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10. The Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. People say that, you know, you preach the Bible, and you have Bible standards, and you preach about dress and about music and about the things that are right from the Word of God, and I'll tell you, that's going to cause division in your church. No, it won't. No, oh, well. As a matter of fact, the division comes from not having a biblical standard. Amen. You know, if we all just agreed to submit to this book, that end a whole lot of controversy. I like these folks that say, well, I don't see your position on dress and the scriptures. I say, I'll tell you what, you sit down and I'll sit down. I'll give you a Bible and I'll take a Bible. You show me your position and I'll show you mine. And you know what all of those liberals say? Well, you know, they can't prove it because they can't prove their position in the Bible. My Bible talks about what nakedness is. My Bible talks about what modesty is. My Bible talks about what pertains to a man and pertains to a woman. It's in the Word of God. You see, everybody has standards. The question is, are they biblical? Even liberal churches have some sort of standard. They hopefully wouldn't let a lady come up here in like a bathing suit or something like that, you know. There's some kind of standard, you know. Something, right? The question is it Bible standard? You see, the Bible will create unity. It'll create unity in a church. It'll create unity in your home. The division comes from those who don't want to have the Bible as their authority. And then the last thing, and we're done. The fourth thing. Write it down. Authority. Authority. The consequences of biblical authority is authority. You say, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is that the person that himself submits himself to the Word of God becomes himself authoritative. I can go out and say, because I know what the Word of God says and I'm confident what's right and true, I can go in the power of the Holy Spirit and teach and preach it with authority. That's amazing when you hear people that don't have a Bible stand on things. You know, lots of times the messages you hear are so like, there's no substance to it. It's just confusing. It's unclear. But the one that stands up and says, thus saith the Lord, the one that goes out with a gospel message to the world, well, I tell you, they can go out with authority because we have this book behind us. Let me ask you something tonight. Is the Bible your authority? Is it? Have you submitted to it? Have you allowed the devil to pull you away from the Word of God and to believe some sort of lie? Have you realized the joy and the authority and the freedom and the unity that comes from submitting to the Word of God? People struggle so much with this, don't they? Struggle so much with it. But you know what? It becomes easy when you just say, you know what? If it says it in the Bible, I'm going to do it. That simplifies your life. It really does. Let's be a church, amen, that places ourselves under the authority of this book. And let's have our homes, all of us, be people that don't believe the lies of the devil. Don't allow him to discourage us and stop us from serving him. But believe the truth of God's word and be a people joyful that serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together.